days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Cast your care on Jesus today. Leave your worry and fear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Troubled soul, the Savior can see every heartache and tear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary, burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near.
Number 430. 493, sorry. 493. 493. That's my fault. I got you guys all confused there.
All right. There we go, G.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. Patient and loving, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. Why should we linger when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me? Why should we wait then and heed not his mercies, mercies for you and for me? Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh wonderful love he has promised. Promise for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon. Pardon for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come.
Number 698.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sign. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we we'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon his beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Amen. We'll have our offertory, our offering hymn, right now, number 430. Number 430. Would you all please stand?
Victory, Jesus.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory! Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeemer. all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and cause a blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Sounds sweeter because I think the message is about our heavenly home.
Amen.
A little loud, excuse me. Hey, turn this down this way. Life has been so good, I can't complain. When I'm down, God gives me strength to rise again. But I'm weary from the struggle of it all. Now I listen, how I listen for his call. Heaven is sounding sweeter all the time. Seems like lately it's always on my mind. Someday I'll leave this world behind. Oh, heaven, it sounded sweeter all the time. For it's hard to lose a loved one to the grave, but we have the blessed hope that Jesus gave. God will wipe all the tears from our eyes when we meet in that land beyond the skies. Heaven is sounding sweeter all the time. Oh, seems like lately it's always on my mind. Someday I'll leave this world behind. Oh, heaven, it sounded sweeter all the time. Someday I'll leave this world behind. Oh, heaven, it sounded sweeter all the time.
During the years of my ministry, I've preached many times, many sermons on heaven, because after all, that's our eternal destination, is it not? As Christians, we all have the hope of going to heaven someday. And so we like to talk about heaven, and I've preached about it a lot, but I wanted to hear somebody else preach about it. And so I asked Brother Bryant if he would bring us a message tonight on heaven. And we've been, he's been working on it all week, and we've been praying for him all week that the Lord would give him the words to speak that would be a blessing to our hearts and lift our souls toward the eternal destiny where we're going to spend eternity with the Lord. And so I want to ask Brother Bryant to come at this time, if he will, and bring us the message that God's laid on his heart.
After all that invitation and direction he's giving, you know what? I can't hardly wait to hear what I've got to say. This pulpit is too high for me. All my life I've gone preaching, even to my evangelists, I'd always find if pulpits were too high, all the preachers were in the hall, you know, and I hide behind this pulpit most of all the time. All right. Brother Sam, would you lead us in our prayer as God ask God to bless us as we speak tonight and bring to a joy to the people? Thank you, sir.
Father, we do want to thank you, Lord, for your presence with us. Mm-hmm. And Lord, we just come before you now and open our hearts and minds and ask that you will be with Brother Bryant, giving liberty of the Holy Spirit, Lord, in opening your word. And Father, this is our desire, certainly, to be with you in heaven. And Lord, we are looking forward to that. And we do believe that this is
I wondered why a pastor called me to preach on this subject. It's the first time in my life that I ever was given a message and asked to preach on a message since college. And I was wondering, Lord, what am I going to do? Because it's been a long while since I preached. And you know, in golf, you have to practice. And usually you practice every week and you work at it. Because you got to perfect your timing. You got to protect your swing. You got to protect your rhythm. The same thing is true in preaching. Have that rhythm, have that timing, that the Word of God might be blessed. Paul told the Corinthian church, said, eye hath not seen, nor ear hath heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. A pastor asked me to preach on heaven, and I've never been there, so I don't know what heaven's all about, other than what the Bible has said. I opened my commentary to look at it. Some people look in their in computers and and get their messages from there. Lots of information there, but I don't have a computer, so I have an old strong systematic concordance. There were three pages in there, three pages of references to heaven. And then I remembered that years ago I heard a song, and that song said, how beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Yet we haven't seen it. I haven't been there. I don't know the beauty of heaven. I don't think any of us know the beauty of heaven. We know the promises of heaven. That's in the Bible. But if I was to ask you, give me a definition of the beauty of heaven, could you do that? I don't know if anybody's ever come back from heaven to tell us how beautiful heaven was be. But we read of a place that's called heaven. It's made of pure, from the pure and the free. It's made for the pure and the free. These truths in God's word he gives, is given. How beautiful heaven must be. In heaven, no drooping or pining, no wishing or elsewhere to be. God's light is forever there shining. How beautiful heaven must be. Pure waters of life there are flowing, and all who drink may be free. Rare jewels of splendor are glowing. How beautiful heaven must be. The angels so sweetly are singing up there by the beautiful sea. The songs of redemption is ringing. How beautiful heaven must be. That's the song I thought. I went through five hymnals in my library this afternoon to find how beautiful heaven must be. Most of the modern Bibles don't have that in them anymore. Thought you might know that, like to know that. Here's a few things I want to share with you. I'm getting a rattle here. Heaven is created by God. That is no question. In the Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Not the heavens, but the heaven and the earth. Genesis 14:22 declares God is the possessor of heaven. Genesis 28:12 teaches this, that there's a gate in heaven. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 30, God's dwelling place is heaven. Psalms 69:34 says, let heaven and earth praise him. Let heaven and earth praise him. Psalms 78:23 says there's doors in heaven. Isaiah 14:12 declares Lucifer, Satan, was fallen or cast out of heaven. Luke 10:20, names are written in heaven. Acts 1:11, Jesus is caught up into heaven. John 6:38, Jesus came down from heaven. In Proverbs 8:27, Jesus was there when heaven was created or prepared. Revelation has over 50 passages of Scripture that refer to heaven. 50 passages of Scripture. But there are at least 1,000 passages that refer to heaven. Let's take our text tonight in Psalm 115, verse 15 through 19. Psalm 115, and verses 15 and 16. Beautiful passage of Scripture. Psalm 115, verse 15 and 16. Ye are blessed of the Lord which made heaven and earth. No question about how heaven came about. God created it and the earth. Heaven, verse 16, even the heavens are the Lord's. But the earth hath he given to the children of men. Only the Bible gives us a good look into heaven. Created by God, known by names. Here's some of the names that heaven is known by. The abode of the blessed. Beulah Land. Afterworld. Abode of God and his angels. Our Father's house, the heavenly home. This is our introduction. Now we go to the discussion concerning heaven. Let's look to Deuteronomy 33:13. Deuteronomy 33:13. Give you some scriptures. Deuteronomy 33:13, and of Joseph he said, blessed of the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew, for the deep that crouched beneath, and for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon. You get the message here? The precious things of heaven. Verse 14, and for the precious fruits brought forth by sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon, and for the chief things, verse 15, of ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills, and for the precious things of the earth, and the fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. Let the blessed come from the head of Joseph, and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. We here on earth can only see so far into heaven. At night I sit into my swing out on my porch, and I look up, and I know that beyond those stars and the moon, that my God dwelleth there. And I know that I'm going to see him someday. But all I see are the stars. The other night, my wife and I were sitting there, and there was a falling star way in the east. the first one I've seen since I left Indiana some 60 years ago. We can see the northern stars, the northern lights. We can see the birds flying in the air, in the heavens. We can see the airplanes at night. I can see the airplanes taking off, going east. I can see the moon, the stars in the heaven. But I can't see beyond that, and neither can you. But God, through His Word, causes us to see beyond. And in the Word, we can understand that God loves us and has provided these things that we might know Him in a better way. That we might know who He really is. A God of love, a God of mercy, a God of grace, a God that really cares, that says to us, bring your burdens unto Him. Cast your care upon Him, for He careth for you. He says, now come boldly to the throne of grace in the time of need. He invites us to come into His blessings. Precious things of heaven. Psalm 73:25. Author questions, whom have I in heaven? Who do you have in heaven? Most of us hope they made heaven. I do not know men's hearts. All I know is my heart. I don't know if my daddy's in heaven. I don't know for sure that my mother's in heaven, although she made a profession of faith and she died in the Lord. She went to church. She believed. But I don't know mother's heart. We're not to judge anyone at any time concerning their relationship with God or their conviction in Christ. There's a lot of hypocrisy. Yeah. Imposters. They have a form of godliness but deny the power therein, so the scripture says. They have the form of godliness but deny the power therein. Even they who came to Jesus said, have we not preached in your name? Have we not cast out devils? Have we not done this? Have we not done that? What did Jesus say? He said, depart from you. I never knew you. But God knows. He knows His own. We'll leave it there. We'll leave it there. Psalm 73:25. Who do I have in heaven? We preach and we teach and believe and invite folks to come to Christ. They come, we baptize them. And what does the Bible say? By their fruit you shall know them. By their fruits ye shall know them. We'll leave it to God. Leave it to Him. Revelation 4:1 says a door opened in heaven. John in chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus declared He was the door. And if any man enter in, he should be saved. John 14, He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. My Father's house are many mansions. In My Father's house. I want to speak to that for just a moment here. Here on earth, we consider the church God's house. Amen? Yet we know that God lives and dwells within us. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says, know ye not your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit of God lives and abides within the heart of the believer. But here in the church is a place of worship. It's a place of singing. It's a place of prayer. It's a place of praising Jesus and the Father. It's a place of Christian fellowship. That's a joy. That's a privilege. We were talking a little while ago about churches, huge, big churches. That's okay for those that love those big churches and sit there and nobody says hi to them or hello to them or shakes their hand. They go in and they go out and they don't know. I'll take a small church like this. I like fellowship. I like to know people. I like to fellowship with people. I like to meet new people in the house of God. Hear their story about how they got saved, where they got saved, and how they got saved. How did God deal with them? This is exciting. It's great. Here in this place, you're going to hear, and you should hear, in God's house about heaven and how to get there. Here there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. It's open to whosoever will may come. But it's on the part of those that hear the word of God to determine whether they get saved or whether they don't. We are here to preach the word, witness of the word, teach the word. We're here to tell them there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. But it's up to them to make the decision. I cannot make the decision. The church does not make it. Church doesn't save anybody. I can't save anybody. Preacher can't save anybody. We can only tell by the witness of the word of God that they might know there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. In the house of God in heaven lives the great I Am of the tribes of Israel. There too also the saints that have gone on before us are there. So the Bible says. One day the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel, and dead in Christ shall rise. And we which are alive remain shall join them and go out to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That is a comfort. We live for that. We're now living in an hour and a time when any moment the Lord Jesus can split heaven open and come and call us out of here. We're 2,000 years since he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And 2,000 years is usually what about each dispensation lasts. So we're near the end. But the signs of the time also are telling us that our Savior is soon to come. And I challenge, and the preacher challenge, and others should challenge that have their churches, their people, to be ready to meet the Lord before it's eternally too late. For they who are not saved and baptized and born again of the Spirit of God are not going when he calls. They're not going. You must be born again. Jesus told Nicodemus, Unless you're born again, you're not going to see the kingdom of God. You must make a decision. In God's house in heaven also shines the eternal light of the glory of God, the Shekinah glory. And beloved, it's never to be extinguished. Never to be extinguished. Yeah, Jesus is the light of the world. On approaching its entrance, you will hear the angels singing. They're singing in heaven. Revelation teaches us. Even the 144,000 are singing. At his throne, the 24 elders attend and worship at his feet. This is heaven. This is the description of things that go on in heaven. That's what we know. We don't know how beautiful heaven is. But I'll guarantee you that it is the most beautiful place that you'll ever enter into. It's there for the taking. If you and I and whosoever will bow their head and say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me and make me ready for that beautiful place called heaven. At his side sits a sacrificial lamb with the book in his hand. The sacrificial lamb is the Lord Jesus Christ. John said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus is declared the Lamb. Read the book of Revelation. Revelation, just go and pick out the word Lamb and look and study that. Every one of them refers to the Lamb of God, the sacrificial Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. At his side, God's Father, the Son, sits the Lamb of God, with the title deed to the earth. Adam, the first Adam, lost it, but the second Adam, he gained it. Fulfilling the law, as Pastor told us this morning in our Sunday school hour. It's all fulfilled. Jesus fulfilled the entire law. We are no more under law, but we are under grace. And thank God for that. At his side, in the Father, sits this Lamb, who was there when this great heaven and this earth was created. Jesus, the Son of God, sits at the right hand of the Father, who is our high priest after the order of Melchizedek. We have an eternal high priest, not under the Aaronic priesthood or the Levitical priesthood anymore. Out of the Old Testament. We're not of law, we're of under grace. Thank God for that. Now the sad part. In the conclusion. Revelation 6:12, turn to it. One day, not too far away, all hell is going to break loose on the face of this earth because of the ungodliness, the pollution, the destruction that's taken place, and the rejection of Jesus Christ and the Heavenly Father, and those who we don't even believe there's a heaven. Revelation 6, look at verse 12. And I beheld, and when he opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of the hair, and the moon became as blood. 13. The stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree cast her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. In verse 14. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it was rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, the every bond man, every free man, hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains, and said unto the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? This heaven as we know it today will not always be. This earth today as we know it will not always be. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 says that the foundations of this earth will be forever. Psalm 104 says that this earth shall be, the foundations of it shall be forever. But there's going to become a great renovation by God. A great renovation by God. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. Go back a few pages. Revelation chapter 3. How's it going to happen? No more flood, God said. No more flood. But fire. It will come. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 4, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the Father fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant, of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water, and in the waters whereby the world that then was being overflowed with the water perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, even this day, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto what class?
Fire.
Against the day of judgment and the perdition or the destruction of ungodly men. And that's the future. That's Revelation. That's the 7-year tribulation. That's what's coming. On the ungodly, they who have not believed God and received his gift of his Son for the redemption and the cleansing of our sins. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with God the Lord 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now go to verse 10. And there is joy in front of us for here in the next few minutes. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy citizenship or conversation and godliness? Here it is. Don't bury your stakes too high in this world. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. There's the joy. There's the thing that we talk about, salvation. What is we looking for? We're looking for the new heavens and the new earth that God's going to get. And that takes us to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. You need to see these. Write them in your Bible, your script. Make them in red so you can remember these things. Revelation 21. I saw a new heaven. This is John. He's looking down the future, stereoptic view of God's grace, mercy, creation. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There's no more sea. And John saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared for as a bride adorned for his husband. By the way, this is your dwelling place. If you're a Christian and you're saved and born again and you are translated into heaven, when we come back to rule and reign with Jesus Christ, we will come back in our spiritual bodies and we shall rule and reign with him, and our heavenly home for eternity will be the New Jerusalem, the church, the body of Christ. The new heavens is going to house God and the angelic being. The new Jerusalem will house the church, the blood-bought redeemed of the Lord. The new earth, Israel, and the Gentile nations that come out of the tribulation period, that go through the thousand-year millennial lane, and God makes the renovation, and they're going to be just like Adam and Eve were the day that they were created, because of the climactic change that shall take place. Is that too hard? Well, how long did Noah live? How long did Methuselah live? God is able to do the impossible, you know. It'll be the fulfilling of the Abrahamic covenant and the fulfilling of the Davidic covenant. The Davidic covenant is filled in the millennial reign, which is the kingdom of David. But the Abrahamic kingdom, which was, remember what God said to him? Of this land, your people, the seed, shall have it forever. They'll inhabit the new earth. So what have we got? We got the new Jerusalem, the church, and Jesus Christ. We've got the new heaven, which is God, and the angelic being. We've got the new earth, which is all that come out of the millennium and going in to the new earth. I think, Bob, beloved, it'll be just like it was in the beginning. Garden of Eden. My wife was asking me today, are they going to live forever? Well, the soul of man never dies. Does it? They'll have bodies in that day just like they had Adam and Eve when God created them in the beginning, I think. That's my opinion. That's Bryant theology. Where's the other crowd? They've gone to the judgment seat of, or they've gone to the great white throne. Their works didn't add up. And all Christ rejectors, every one of them from Genesis to Revelation, from all generations, if they have not believed on Jesus Christ and his blood atonement and the Messiah of Israel, they're cast into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are, and Satan is finally cast in. That's the great white throne. You'll not be at the great white throne judgment. That's not for us. That's for the works of man that never came to the glory of God. Here's the great promise, verse 13. Let's go on here. Verse 3 of Revelation 21. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears. Now get this. From their eyes there be no more death, no more sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, take notice, I will make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. I say to you tonight, listen to what God has got to say and act upon it before it's eternally too late. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Doesn't cost you a dime. But it dear sure did cost God and his son. The punishment that Jesus took on the cross. It'll break your heart. It broke mine. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God. And he shall be my son. But, now look at this. The fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, idolaters, all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire which burneth with brimstone, which is the second death. And paradise is lost. Heaven is lost. Now my question, where will you spend eternity? Let's stand. Preacher, come on up. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I want you to look deep into your heart and be assured without a shadow of a doubt that you have received Christ as your Savior, the blood atonement, and you are cleansed. And you can say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and so free. Right now, in this place, with your head bowed and your eyes closed, and you're looking into your own heart, you have the full assurance. For the Scripture says, this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life, but he that has not the Son of God has not this life. And he said, these things that are written unto you, that you may know that you have eternal life. And you should know it. You, without a shadow of a doubt, you should know, I am heaven bound. I trust you are. Father, we pray. If there's anyone here tonight, that right now, where they stand, they would pray that prayer, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me and forgive me my sins. I trust your blood for the cleansing. Receive you as my Savior. Teach me how to serve you. In Jesus' name, we ask this prayer. God bless you. Pastor, come ahead.
Thank you, Brother Bryant, for that wonderful, inspiring sermon. Appreciate that tonight. And we will go home richer by having been here. How beautiful heaven must be. Our stay on this earth is temporary. We are only here for a little while. We're like a fog, a vapor. It appears for a little while and then vanishes away. But we don't vanish. We go into the presence of the Lord. And it makes me feel good to know that I'll see all of you there. Because of Calvary, we're saved. As we're dismissed in prayer tonight, I want to thank you again for coming. And remember our Wednesday night service at 6 o'clock. We'll be studying in the book of Deuteronomy. Come out and join us in that hour of Bible study. And then we'll have a missionary report. pray for our missionaries, have a short prayer meeting, and go home. Very profitable service. So as we're dismissed in prayer tonight, I want to ask Brother Gene if he'll lead us, please, in our benediction to this service.